Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. Last week, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries joined us to talk about threats undermining the heart of the Savior. And we talked about the Islamic false belief with regard to our Savior. And today we're going to carry on with our conversation, but we're moving to yet another false teaching that has pervaded our culture, our news media, and even our church-believing body recently. And this false teaching brings with it fear and anxiety. But folks, I want you to know and remind you that we're not to walk in fear. We're called to walk with Christ Jesus, so there should be no fear. So briefly, for those of you who have not had the opportunity to hear prior teachings of Dr. Swanson on our program, he is the founder of Endurance Ministries, and he's dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them, the truth that matters, sound biblical teaching. I love that. And his ministry addresses eschatological end times data in God's Word, and he's one of my favorite guests. I'm kind of, because you were one of my professors.
We had a lot of good times.
And with that said, we have several pertinent passages to open with today to set the theme for this program. Mm-hmm. And so it's about false teachings. And so we're talking mainly about that blood moon promoters thing that we keep hearing about. So the first passage is Joel 2, verses 30 through 31. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And our next passage comes from the New Testament, which is in Acts, and it's verses 16 through 21. And I'm not going to repeat it because it's actually quoting Joel, which I love that you can go from the Old Testament to the New Testament and see where it was quoted again.
That's right.
God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
The full counsel.
Full counsel. So now we're going to turn to Matthew 24:29 first, and then Luke 21, verses 25 to 28. Which are both titled The Coming of the Son of Man. So let's begin with Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And Luke 21 again, verses 25-28. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And finally, we're going to turn to Revelation 6:12 through 13, titled The Sixth Seal, Cosmic Disturbances. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. John?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for not giving me a pop quiz today. And I know that after reading those passages, it could instigate a fear if we don't understand what's being taught. So how about sharing with us your heart with regard to this false teaching?
Okay. And the false teaching is tied to the correct handling of God's Word. So these passages are actually the passages that are used to bring a very specific interpretation, which we believe is a false interpretation. And as a result, it's not the scripture that we're saying is a problem. That's a threat to the heart of their Savior. It's a false teaching. It's actually the interpretations of these passages.
Yes.
And so one of the basic hermeneutical principles as far as interpreting scripture is, let's set things in context. So Leslie, the false teaching is this. Some say the blood moons of 2014 and 2015 are fulfillments of these passages. They are not. Okay, that's really important. So in light of the heart of the Savior, who cares passionately about us in these days filled with dangerous deceptions, I simply seek to herald Jesus Christ's words as to signs taking place before the appearing of our Lord Jesus. We read that in the Luke passage. His initial appearing, as addressed in Matthew 24 and Revelation 6, those precede these things, the signs in the heavens, and then the sign of the Son of Man comes. That's in both the Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 passage. Our last radio session, we addressed Islam as a major threat which undermines the heart of the Savior. Today we're considering yet another threat, and this time it's actually internal to the church, and the threat's this, and I repeat for the sake of clarity. The false teaching of the blood moon advocates who teach the heavenly sign passages, which you just read, are fulfilled in the blood moons of 2014 and 2015. That's the false teaching. See, our general concern is this. The appeal of certain Bible teachers that these blood moons of 2014, 2015, there are four of them, are fulfillments of these heavenly sign passages is false. And these passages include the Joel 2, Acts 2, the Matthew 24, 29, Luke 21, and the Revelation. But here are some specific concerns that we have. We're seeing some of these expressions of the blood moon advocates do date setting things. For example, an attorney friend of mine, I'll just call him Mike in this setting, gave me some documentation about some of these who write on the affirmation of the blood moons being the fulfillment of these very passages. But they date set in some of their material. They go on to say 2017 is the end. These things are going to be happening, and then 27. And so I talked to Mike about some questioning of the properly handling of God's word, and his one response was, well, yeah, John, according to scripture, there's a whole lot to do between now and 2017. I said, well, Michael, that's one of the problems. We just can't see all this happen. So let's be common sense discerning in light of biblical truth to some of these scenarios that come up that include date setting, which scripture has said not to do.
Don't do it.
Right. I believe another specific concern is the misapplication of sign events, because they say, oh, these blood moons are fulfillment of these passages. But if that's not the case, because the context is there are other things happening during the expression of these blood moons that are not taking place today. We have an inconsistency as far as handling the full counsel of these prophetic passages.
Well, and there have been blood moons before this.
There's been blood moons before that, etc. Right. So we're presenting false hope, and we're fostering disappointment when we allow these teachers to teach falsely, because when it doesn't come to pass according to their expectations, there's going to be, again, discouragement. But see, please, folks who are listening, don't blame or fault the Word of God. It's the false handling, interpreting of the Word of God that's to be blamed. And Scripture says about, what about those who bring false prophets, prophecies that don't come to pass? Well, let's not listen to them if they've shown themselves to be untrue to the Word. Another specific concern is ill-preparedness. The Herald Camping Group, a lot of people were discouraged and they gave up hope because they had placed their trust in false predictions, false date setting. We're concerned that this false handling of God's word might open up a door for distrust of God's word, and that need not happen. It's the false interpretations that are wrong. And that gets us to also the mishandling of God's word. We got to rightly divide the word of truth.
You know, and that's one thing I can remember from when we were under your tutelage at Oregon College of Ministry, is the mishandling of God's word can bring life or death to people. And I know you're committed to good exegesis, and that, you know, folks, is the analysis of the text or interpretation of specific texts. So, John, talk to us about what you see as mishandling God's word with regard to this topic.
Okay, like last week, for example, we used the tennis spades, and I said, what is this? And you said it was a spade, and I said, yes, there's a certain definition to that in order to be involved in the games tied to the cards.
Right.
Well, there's certain important definitions that we must handle correctly. We must be using proper definitions to terms. And so, for example, let me give one example. And because it's a public figure, I don't mind saying that I'm quoting from Four Blood Moons by John Hagee.
Okay.
And it's tied to this issue of when we use terms, let's define them and use them properly. Here's the example of sloppy definition of term usage. It's on page 66 of his book, Four Blood Moons. Let me ask you if you can discern it by just my simple reading.
Oh, no, it's the pop quiz again.
Well, I'm asking the listening audience to do the same here. So
okay.
Here we go. Quote, The theological opinions about Matthew 24 are as numerous as the stars in the sky. I am presenting Matthew 24 from the position of a premillennialist, which means I believe Jesus Christ will come for his church in an event called the rapture before the 7 years of the great tribulation led by the Antichrist, unquote. Now, did any yellow lights go off as I quoted Hagee in this? It's a self-contained paragraph, so I'm not taking it out of context. I'm quoting it, obviously, so I'm taking it out of a particular context, but I'm not taking him out of context. You know what I mean? Any yellow lights go off?
Well, first off, he's giving his opinion.
He's giving his opinion. He says, I am presenting Matthew 24 from this perspective, yes. Well, the definition of millennial.
Yes.
Premillennial means that Jesus Christ is coming to the earth, second advent, before the thousand-year reign. But see, this is what he says. He says, I am presenting Matthew 24 from the position of a premillennialist, which means I believe Jesus Christ will come for his church in an event called the rapture before the 7 years of the great tribulation. Leslie, this issue of the timing of Jesus Christ coming for his church in the rapture event has nothing to do with the millennial issue. But he says, quote, I'm coming from this perspective of Matthew 24 from a position of a premillennialist, which means, and then he goes into this false definition of millennial things. That's problematic in that it confuses the readers because we're giving a totally different definition for a very sound and important eschatological term, and that is millennial. What does millennial mean? Hagee's not using it consistently. Well, he does that throughout his book when it comes to picking and choosing definitions of terms, when it comes to tribulation or the rapture, etc. And then when he shows things like, well, the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15 isn't actually the last, by his opinion, by his authority, he's saying, well, the last trumpet, as it's stated black and white in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, is not the actual last. Well, on what grounds does one do that? He's departing from the Word of God. So that's my concern here. We have examples after examples in this text, the Four Blood Moons by John Hagee, where we're mishandling Scripture. And that concerns me because this is our authority for faith and practice. Now, some people say, well, John, you're confusing us here. No, it's just the opposite. I'm trying to use definitions that are in place, accepted by the theological Bible-believing community, and I'm saying, let's be true to our definitions, and I'm trying to expose some of these that are actually contributing to confusion because they're mishandling terms, definitions, faulty definitions, and the Scriptures. So, here we go. Our intent is not to confuse. Our intent is to encourage people to accept the explicit data of the Word of God and evaluate contemporary eschatological or end time constructs in light thereof, in light of the Word. Not the other way around, where we mishandle Scripture because of some of our faulty interpretations based on interpretation, because of our faulty traditions, based upon interpretations of Scripture, often that are in contradiction to the explicit data of the text.
Well, and there it is. Those wonderfully faulty traditions that we as humans have put in place. You know, instead of holding on to God's Word and what it says, not taking it out of context, reading it, read the passage, read the chapter, read the book, read the whole Bible. I mean,
analogy of Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture.
And
yes,
you
the
certainly
full counsel
can't
of
be
the
without
God.
The Old Testament, which I cannot believe how many people I talk to say, oh, I don't need the Old Testament. Right. And I... you know, I just...
All Scripture is given by inspiration.
My head kind of shakes. So, yeah. And it gets us into trouble every time, John.
It does. The Blood Moon teaching, when evaluated again in the full counsel of the Word of God, is false teaching. The context gives us additional information that aren't taking place with these Blood Moon events. So allow me to put it this way. And I want to pick on Hagee because he's very public. Hagee's position, as outlined in his book, Four Blood Moons, is found to be inconsistent with Scripture at best, a false teaching leading to the ill-preparedness of millions at worst. But see, it doesn't just stop there. Some of the consequences of this false belief are eternally binding. And again, go to the Scriptures to see what I'm talking about here. For example, toward the end of our stories that we post on our website, enduranceministries.org, there's about 12 stories there. We have examples as to how consequential a false belief in some of these contemporary popular end time views that are not biblical. There are consequences to this.
Well, and I want you folks to know that you really do need to go to that website and read these posts so that you can see what's out there and the responses. And, you know, make up your own mind, because we're certainly not going to tell you how to make up your mind, but you need to have the truth presented to you. So that's enduranceministries.org is where you can find those examples.
Yes, and all the stories help one better prepare, as our Lord is called. The final two stories, though, highlight this threat which undermines the heart of our Savior in the context of the false hope of the pre-tribulation rapture, so popular within our churches today. So, Leslie, I'll tell you what, could you bless the reading, the listening audience with the reading of the Lord's Word concerning this issue of traditions, which was, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was wrestling with traditions of his day, and what he thought of that issue, putting traditions more authoritative over the Word of God. Would you mind reading the first 11 verses so of Matthew 15?
Wow. Okay. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.' Then Peter," blessed Peter, you know, "Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man."
Leslie, I hear the passion in your voice as you read this culturally relevant passage. I mean, passage that was written 2,000 years ago, but that has so much import for us today. Because we have our own traditions.
Oh, absolutely.
That are actually denied by the explicit Word of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, John, why are you doing this? I mean, what's your motive in addressing these threats which undermine the heart of our Savior?
It does just that, Leslie. It undermines the heart of our Savior, and that was expressed in this very passage of Matthew chapter 15. Jesus confronted the religious leaders of his day. And he said, "You have elevated your traditions above the Word of God. And because of that, you honor me in vain. You worship me in vain. That's powerful. And my motive is to say, well, boy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for us today. I'm paraphrasing those four points that are so pertinent for us today: sound doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. We have our traditions today that are anti-biblical or extra-biblical, and we need to expose them, lest we worship God in vain.
Absolutely.
Lest we put our opinions, our theologicals, our petty doctrines that aren't biblically endorsed above the Word of God. My heart is, I'm trying to be an ambassador of Christ and properly represent Him, is to give the same warning that our Lord gave the religious people of His day. I'm saying, American Christianity, let's bow to the authority of the Word of God, not our spiritual traditions, because some of them are actually contrary to the Word of God.
You know, John, I've been ridiculed, I guess is the correct word, about reading things like the book that you have quoted today, looking at some of our popular magazines or listening into certain programs, and I get, why are you doing that? That's just awful stuff. Mm-hmm. And what I try to explain to them is you have to know what people are talking about. And if you've not read what they're reading, you can't address it with the truth that matters, correct? Mm-hmm. And I know that when I have read things or I've had questions that I've not known how to answer correctly or felt, I haven't felt that it was my place of expertise. I've called upon you and sent the question to you or the person to you and mm-hmm. said, John, can you answer this for me? Because I really don't know how. And I want to thank you for that. And one of them is this blood moon thing, because
yes.
I have one person who has contacted me several times that is very interested in this, and I can tell it's of grave concern to their heart. Mm-hmm. So thank you for responding to them and for doing this program. And folks, I'm going to have John back on here in September, the last Saturday in September, and the first Saturday in October to address this, because that's when the supposed blood moon is.
The final one.
Yeah.
Final of the fourth of,
Well, and I, you have made available to everyone some great resources, and there's a blog for discussing these truths that matter on your website, and you've written a book. And folks, it's called The Final Trumpet Gathering, An Introduction. And if I'm not mistaken, where can they go to get that?
Can get it to Amazon.com. Just type in The Final Trumpet Rapture Gathering.
By John Swanson, and that's J-O-N Swanson. Great. And where is your blog?
Well, and we're putting a lot of effort in our blogs of late. So currentmatters.org, and you'll see the blog posts on the link.
So if there's one thing you'd like to share with our audience, what would that be?
The appeal for sound truth foundations so much applies. One of the common themes in the Word of God concerning the end time qualities is that of false teachings left and right, deceptions that many fall prey to, even by if possible, the elect. So we're talking about the severity of these deceptions are impacting. And My call to the Christian community is, remember your truth foundation. Let's go back to the Word of God and evaluate all things therein. If you look at these passages, Leslie, that you read earlier as we began the program, there's no way that the blood moons that are happening in 2014 and 2015 are fulfillments of these passages. And all we have to do is look at the text. There are things that take place before these, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Hagee writes on that in a very confusing way. Well, wait a minute. We're supposed to miss the tribulation. And yet he says the blood moons come, immediately after the tribulation is what the scriptures teach. So we need to wrap up because our time is short. But this issue of God's word being our truth foundation, our authority, not our religious traditions.
Thank you again. You know, folks, we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father, and that you'll make God's word a part of your every breath that you take this week. As always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie and my guest, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.